The views expressed are those of the author as of the date noted, are subject to change based on market and other various conditions, are not a solicitation to purchase or sell any security, and may not reflect the views of United Planners Financial Services. Keep in mind that current and historical facts may not be indicative of future results.
Hi, I'm Angie Nelson. Welcome to KIOW and Bradford's Money Outlook. Join us as we find out what big things are happening at Bradford. Today we have Shallon Weiss and Jared Raymond from the Bradford Financial Center in Clarion and Garner with me to talk about market updates.
Well, up first, Europe might already be in a recession. German-based behavioral science and data analytics from Centex reported that Eurozone investor confidence has dropped significantly enough in a short period of time to say that a European recession has begun. For more than 20 years, the firm has conducted a monthly survey of thousands of investors and financial analysts covering retail and institutional universes and asked those individuals about expectations for markets, the economy, and their portfolios. So in Europe, April's numbers showed a dramatic decline in optimism, down 11 index points to a -18. Anything below zero is a pessimistic indicator. And this is notable because in a recession, investor sentiment typically craters along with asset prices.
So how did the numbers compare to the Great Lockdown of 2020, which many consider the worst economic downturn since the Great Depression?
The results from Centex's April survey marked the lowest sentiment reading since June of 2020 during the COVID-19 lockdowns and marked the second consecutive month of negative results following a year of positive numbers. According to the firm's managing director, Manfred Hubner, since the situation is again negative, the beginning of a recession must be assumed. In Germany, which is facing an energy crisis given its traditional reliance on Russian oil and its decision to ditch nuclear energy plans in recent years, expectations today are at their most pessimistic level since January 2009. And the negative sentiment is not limited to Europe. The U.S. economy, Hubner said, is only in a cyclical downturn, but one that is increasingly gaining negative momentum.
Yeah, inflation has hit a 40-year high with no end in sight. The U.S. Energy Information Administration shows U.S. average gas prices have been steady on the rise since January 2021, hitting $3 on average in May of 2021 and skyrocketing to record highs of $4.33 just last month. So what's Hubner say about the rest of the world?
Well, internationally, the declines are smaller, but the trend is the same everywhere. Both the situation and expectation scores continue to fall. No region is currently able to resist the negative momentum. Even the important Asian region is already struggling with stagnation. So enter into this scenario the fact that the European Union is preparing more sanctions on Russian jet fuel, steel, and luxury goods, and there is a recipe for more commodity shortages and skyrocketing prices in Europe and beyond. So the most critical commodity is oil, of course. The world is still addicted to oil, no matter how many people might want alternative energy sources to be the thing right now. Even before the war in Ukraine, the fundamentals were in place for higher oil prices in the years ahead. Demand was already likely to outrun supply, as the oil industry was still getting back on its feet after the depths of the pandemic. Plus, more investment was being made in alternative energy than in the oil supply that we rely on, not just for energy, but to make plastic, computers, and a number of items.
So can someone please explain all this to Biden? No matter what he thinks, we still rely on oil for the majority of our livelihoods.
The truth is, the world's oil habit is going to be a hard one to kick. It will happen much slower than many folks might expect. Market analyst Jim Bianco, who gives macroeconomic guidance to institutional investors, shared this comment and chart on Twitter the other day when oil moved higher than $100 a barrel. He said, not every recession is led by a 50% rise in crude, but every 50% rise in crude has led to a recession. Is this time different? We hope so, but hope is not a strategy. It doesn't take a lot of thinking to pinpoint the added expenses that will reverberate through the economy and eat into corporate growth and the pockets of people on Main Street. This is why every major oil shock has preceded a recession. They were surprise hits to economic growth. The decision to essentially reroute a lot of Russian oil from the West to places like China via economic sanctions has only accelerated the trend of higher energy prices and sent gas prices above $6 in some parts of this country. Similarly, the war in Ukraine has sped up the drawing of new battle lines in a currency war that will likely be fought over the next decade or so, too. It's also rekindling memories of the 1970s inflation era when folks dealt with gas rationing and the like. German politicians suggested to their citizens they ride bikes or take a bus or train instead of driving gas-powered cars.
Bikes? That's crazy. I drive a minimum of 50 miles a day just to get to and from the office. To see clients, I'm driving over 100 miles. Around here, there's no passenger train, and I don't have the money to purchase and insure an electric vehicle, or even access to a charging station to keep it charged every 250 miles. So what strategies are being taken to prevent higher gas prices in a worldwide depression from occurring?
Well, the European Union hasn't banned Russian energy, only because it might hurt themselves more than it would hurt Russia. And the U.S. will release up to 180 million barrels of oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve over the next 6 months in an effort to bring down high fuel costs. And this would be the biggest release of oil reserves since they were created in 1974. And then there's the Federal Reserve. The central bank says it is dead set on hiking interest rates. To slow demand, it can't do much about supply in what is likely an already slowing global economy. So lower rates mean that the central bank is keeping things easy for the economy to grow, which sounds good unless inflation gets out of hand. And that's what we see today. Here's the concern today. If the Fed is to have any shred of credibility left in its halls of power, there is no possible way it could lower interest rates right now to help the economy, not with inflation at record levels. Maybe the central bank could lower rates now if it had started raising them earlier. Back when it was clear that the economy was running strong throughout 2021, instead it just let zero rates go on and on.
So what does this all mean going forward?
Something that we haven't seen too many other people talking about yet. Unlike in recent downturns, central banks don't appear to have the capacity to introduce more stimulus. All of the extra liquidity introduced to the financial system to fight the pandemic-driven downturn has created rapidly rising inflation. The Federal Reserve is saying it will have to raise interest rates to 2% from the current range of 0.25%. Its members have also suggested starting to shrink its $9 trillion balance sheet at the next policy meeting in May. The European Central Bank is in a similar spot. It is currently trying to wind down its bond purchase program. Originally, it was targeting the end of this year. But now, with inflation continuing to increase, it said asset purchases will likely end in the third quarter and rate hikes could begin soon thereafter. In other words, all that easy money that the economy and markets have come to rely on is not coming this time, at least not yet. And everyday folks on the ground are going to pay the price. Folks are already talking more about spending less. We now could be releasing 1 million barrels of oil from the U.S. Strategic Reserves per day for the next 6 months. And yes, somehow we must replenish them because when this crisis is over, we will still need oil to live comfortable lives day to day. It's the 21st century, and unfortunately, we still have the same age-old problems.
If people have questions about our discussion today on market updates and to help in managing their wealth journey, what should they do?
For a free consultation to help you manage your wealth journey, contact one of us today at BradfordFinancialCenter.com or call 515-532-6661 or toll free at 1-800-348-4419.
Thank you, Shallon and Jared, for being with us today. Join us again next Tuesday at 9:10 for Bradford's Money Outlook to find out what big things are happening at Bradford. You can also find Bradford's weekly conversations on our website at KIOW.com. I'm Angie Nelson for KIOW.
Securities offered through United Planners Financial Services, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services are offered through Bradford Financial Center, a registered investment advisor. Insurance services offered through Bradford Insurance. Tax and accounting services offered through Bradford Tax and Accounting Network. Bradford Financial Center, Bradford Insurance, and Bradford Tax and Accounting Network are not affiliated with United Planners. Neither Bradford Financial Center nor United Planners provide tax or legal advice.